Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Tech Talk. Stephen Scott here at home, as we all are. Robin Christofferson is in Warwickshire. Is it Warwickshire or Warwickshire? I never understand this.
It depends if you're American or can speak I nearly said proper English. That's
but
terrible,
if you couldn't
it?
See it. You couldn't even see it, which is even more horrifying.
Warwickshire. Wow, melting. I'm melting. I'm like the, what was it, the Wicked Witch of the West? Who is the one who didn't get squished by the house? Anyway, it's 33 degrees here. Oh, it's horrible. And when you don't sweat, it's fine for other people, but not for the one who ain't sweating. So,
you
yeah.
And Prince Andrew.
I know.
So moving on, Andy's also here. Hi, Andy.
Hi, everyone. I'm not grumpy because of the weather. I'm just grumpy in general.
Well, he's grumpy because you are having to go and do something which, I have to be honest, I'm with you on this, yeah. I hate, and that is go to the dreaded dentist.
Yes, that was this morning. I have been to the dentist, and she informed me that I need to come back, and she's going to drill holes in me. And
nice.
I'm not looking for...
Aim for the mouth.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
As I said to you before we started recording, as long as she numbs me from like the waist up,
yeah,
I'll be fine. Just knock me out with a mallet and I'll be happy.
Wake up with one leg shorter than the other, you know something's gone horribly wrong.
Yeah.
But
I'm trying to be sympathetic, but I've lived in the dentist for the last 30 years, yeah. So sorry.
No, I am sympathetic. Here. No, I am because I just can't. I can't even think about it. It just sends shivers down my spine. Now, I don't want to say that because that's not helping you. So no. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut on this one for once.
Literally.
So yeah. We're only in the show 2 minutes, and we've pretty much offended everyone on earth, I think, so far. Anyone we left out? I can't think. So listen, if I sound a bit different today, I'm on my headset rather than my usual microphone because it is so warm today as we put this together, and. I can't breathe today. So I had to have fans on. I have to have windows open. And the only way to achieve all that and not give you lots and lots of horrible background noise is to put on this headset. So if I don't sound my usual booming self, then that's why.
You always sound like melted chocolate.
I feel like melted chocolate, but yeah. I think that's very different.
Okay.
Look, we've got lots and lots of emails to get through. Of course, lots of these. Oh, emails. We've got emails. Yes, we do. And we're going to get to those a bit later.
Right.
Yeah, not yet. Calm down. You're all right. No, you're fine. Check the running order. You've got ages yet.
So I do, yeah.
Yes, believe it or not, folks, we do actually have a running order. I know that might be breaking news in and of itself.
This week?
Yes. What do you mean this week? We always have a running order.
Yeah, it's true.
How dare you. And we'll be getting the news as well. We're going to be talking about Jumpy Cat, which is not some kind of YouTube sensation, but actually an app that will help you get fit. And apparently they're looking for help from us blind people to make their app better and also to make the whole experience of becoming fit. I don't understand this concept, but apparently people do it. And if you want to, then this app can help. So there you go. We'll be hearing about a new AbilityNet webinar that Robert? Robin wants to promote. I don't know who he is, but Robin certainly wants to promote it. And
I'll get the info off him, don't worry.
Yeah, if he tells you, people talk to
I'll pass it on.
Then we'll get that. And also we're going to be hearing about Chats About Apps. It's a new podcast from RNIB. We'll be hearing about that from our own Polina Kohorev here at RNIB Connect Radio. That report coming up a bit later, so plenty to get through. But first up, we've heard the news that Aira has launched in the UK. We have talked about this already, and it's an interesting thing. I mean, we're going to be hearing a demo of how Aira works here in the UK, and I think that's great. Will has got in touch with you, Robin, to share this demo for us, which is brilliant, and I'm really, really glad he did that because, you know, I've heard a lot of demonstrations of it. I've seen a lot of promotional material around it. And, of course, when you watch the promotional material, you always think to yourself, yeah, but is it like that in real life? Is that really how it works? Well, we'll hear a bit of this today. We'll hear Will navigating around with his phone outside. It's a bit windy when he goes out, but doesn't matter. We're going to hear that a bit later, and we're going to talk a bit about the pricing structure as well, because it isn't the cheapest service, is it, Robin? I mean, it's a considered
thing. I think that, mean, it's all about the value that it provides. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a brilliant demo. And even though I was really excited when it came to the UK finally, and I signed up and everything, I've actually kind of been reluctant to do that first call because I haven't got a reason, really. You know, not one that I would have to engineer something because I'm surrounded by eyes that work at the moment. So, yeah, but I don't want to waste anyone's time, basically. So I'm really interested to know. And when I do finally have my first experience with it, I'll certainly let you know how it went.
Do you use Be My Eyes at all?
That's funny, you know, because I do. And I don't know, again, this is kind of the weird thing about it. I would use Be My Eyes, and I have done when people are in the house, just to say, oh, you know, my computer's not talking to me or something, and it's usually a, you know, Windows update or something like that. And I seem to be fine about that. And I tell you what it is. It's because I've heard Will of Be My Eyes say that one of their issues is that the volunteers don't get used enough.
Mm.
And there's a bit of disillusionment there, you know. Yeah. And I know that Judith gets super excited when it does go off because she's a volunteer as well. So maybe that's what it is. But yeah, I have used that since.
Well, it is a bit of we don't want to be a burden on people, isn't it? That's where a lot of this stems from. And it's, in some respects, we kind of don't help ourselves because these great services are out there to help us. People are willing to help. And the weird thing about Be My Eyes is over the years, and Andy knows this because I've ranted about this so many times with him in between, you know, during songs on Daily Connect or whenever we went out for lunch talking about all these things. Well, usually Andy just has to sit and listen to me rant for the sake of an hour. And then I go, right, that's that. Now back to work. But one of the things I often get annoyed about is the people who will always come up to you in the street, and they'll, you know, you have people who'll, you know, grab you and pull you across a road, or, you know, try and kind of get in your space to help you. And they mean well, and I know they mean well, and people do mean well, and of course they do. But I think the difference with Be My Eyes is, even though it's pretty much the same experience as in people who are there willing to help, the difference is it's on your terms. So you've decided you need this support at this time, and Be My Eyes is there for you for that purpose. So you go into Be My Eyes, you call the first available volunteer, and someone's there when you want them, not when they've decided to help you, which is often the case. Whenever a sighted person sees a blind person struggle with something, or perceive that they're struggling with something, then people are always jumping on the back and say, oh, let me do it for you. I'll open that tin, or I'll do this, or I'll grab that. And just give me a minute. Everything takes longer when you're blind, right? So just get over it. It just does. And that's okay. We're okay with it. I mean, it frustrates us at times, of course. But, you know, anything, you know, you're doing yourself, you're not getting right first time, you're not able to do in the first couple of minutes or first couple of seconds, it's going to frustrate you, perhaps. That's just part of it. Whereas what I like about this service with Be My Eyes is you get the service when you want it. So, I had a example of this the other day. I bought a Wi-Fi SD card the intention of buying this was, and I still haven't got the answer, but I was hoping that I'd be able to put it into my Victorator stream and I'd be able to transfer content from my computer directly over the air to the Victorator without having to connect them up or take the SD card out and put it into the PC.
That's
or the
a
Mac.
Brilliant idea.
Well, it is, but I just can't seem to get it to do it. I sense a session with all of us getting together at some point and Andy reading a manual for the next hour and a half, you know, going through all this to try and kind of make sense of it, because I can't figure it out. But that is where I needed the help of Be My Eyes the other night, because, the packaging has all the details of how you're supposed to connect up this thing. And I had a vague idea how it would work, but I just wanted to be sure. You know, jump on Be My Eyes, couple of minutes with someone who read through it all, very pleasant conversation, as every call I've ever had on Be My Eyes has been. Mm. And, you know, that's been it. I mean, I've never had a bad experience once. I don't know anyone who has, quite frankly. So that's a great thing. But now we're with Ira. This is a very different service. And this is a more professional service. And that's not to degrade Be My Eyes at all. Right? That's not what I'm saying here.
Clarifying that it's Be My Eyes of volunteers.
Yeah, exactly.
Clara, they have paid staff to do it, don't they?
That's right. So they're paid, and that, of course, brings with it a number of benefits. So you could argue this is free versus premium, potentially. That's maybe one way to look at it. But it depends on what you want to do, and also it depends on data and information you're prepared to hand over. So, you know, on Ira, because it's a professional service, you will be dealing and can deal with a lot more private information, whereas nobody would recommend, even Be My Eyes wouldn't recommend, you know, pulling out your bank statement from the envelope and, you know, laying it on a table and asking someone on Be My Eyes to read it all out. You just don't know who you're connecting to. Whereas this is a service you're paying for, you would expect a level of professionalism. In the same way you would if you go through Be My Eyes and go to specialised help, and you go to Microsoft and, you know, all your information's up on the screen and they can see that, you're dealing with Microsoft, right? So they're not going to, you know, hopefully be, you know, writing down your PIN number and using it for nefarious reasons. That's not going to happen. At least we hope it doesn't. So that's where we are, right? So IRA is a different service. And I think because we've had Be My Eyes here first, that's maybe where a lot of the questions have come in from blind people about, well, you know, why would you want IRA if you've got Be My Eyes? But let's listen to Will's demo, because I think this is a great example. There are many reasons why IRA is good, mm-hmm. And it's a great service, but I think this is a brilliant one, and it's about navigation, getting from A to B. Let's hear Will talk now, his experience of navigating using IRA.
Hi, I'm Will, and I'm here today to give you a demonstration of IRA. Now, IRA is a visual interpreting service designed for the blind and the visually impaired person to gain a greater independence of where they actually are. So they're live agents. At the end of a phone, they're live agents, and they can see what your camera can see. So, as you'll see in a moment now, when I've got past this denser traffic, the agent will be able to say, "Hello, Will, how can I help?" And I tell them what I want, and we'll take the call from there. Now, you'll notice a couple of things, okay? When I'm walking, when I come to a crossing, they will tell me that I've come to a crossing. They will tell me, but they will not tell me it's safe to cross. Remember, with IRA, it's important that you use your orientation and mobility skills to the utmost, or your vision if you've got any, which I don't, but to help you to get around your environment. You can't rely on IRA to say you can cross the road. If you're crossing the road and veering off into the road, they will direct you. But if you don't hear off them, you keep on in a straight line. So now I'm in a quieter part of my route, so I'm going to put Waffle there, and they're going to ring IRA. So on my screen, and my sound's not brilliant because my speakers aren't very good on my phone. I've had it a couple of years. I'm using my watch to record this for you. Let's give this a go. Hello, Emily. Good morning. I'm wondering, would you mind helping me? I'm just recording a quick podcast for the R&IB show here in the UK, the Tech Talk podcast. Would you mind just spending a couple of minutes of your time just to tell me where I'm going on my block walk? I don't have a destination in mind. I'm just walking around my neighbourhood. All right?
Okay, sure. Do you want an obstacle description as well?
Yes, please. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, so you're going to be coming up to a left-hand turn here on the corner. You're going to maintain that fence on your left-hand side for a bit, though. It is kind of a, you might be better off following the grass on the right-hand side, just because it's a,
And what street am I on, please, Emily?
You are on Willow Road going west.
Yeah.
Still have that fence. You're changing to a wall. And then you're going to have a driveway opening about 5 steps. Yeah. Right here.
If there's pedestrians as well, if you can let me know so I can try and stay out their way because of social distancing
sure.
as well.
Yeah, absolutely. About 5 steps, you're going to be coming up to a wall again on your left.
Yeah.
There you go. Are you able to tilt the phone upwards at all a little bit? All right, perfect. Driveway entrance here. Then once you're clear of that, you're going to have a tall bush on your left-hand side.
So as you heard there on that quite extensive call, she described all of the objects to me as we were going past. Did get a little bit lost as I was going because there was a big van in my way. And now I've got to try and find my way, you know, back again to get to where I need to be, because that van threw me. But I hope you enjoyed that. So you pay £24 for 30 minutes a month of IRA. The first 5 minutes for every call are free. And then you pay £79 for 120 minutes. And then you pay £150 for 300 minutes. I hope you enjoyed this call, and I'll speak to you soon. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Will, for going outside, socially distancing as well, as he did, and went out and demoed IRA for us. I've got to say, I mean, that is just wonderful. I mean, two things stand out there. One is he's getting navigation from someone who's seeing through the back camera of his phone, being able to see what's coming up, telling him, for example, that, you know, what is a grass verge is going to become a wall, you know, even giving him advice on maybe which side of the road he might be better to walk on, and or what side of the pavement. And then, you know, he asked, where am I, essentially? What street am I on at the moment? And she's able to tell him real time because she's got access to that GPS location. I mean, that is impressive, and that sets this apart. That really is the thing that sets this apart from something like Be My Eyes, isn't it?
Absolutely. I was so impressed. This made it real to me,
yeah.
This demo, for the first time, more than any kind of promo videos on their website, etc., because, you know, this is real.
Yeah.
Unedited, unselected, you know. Well, it was edited. You cut it down for us, thankfully. I mean, yeah, thanks for that.
And
that was
just to say that as well. So Will did obviously a long walk. He said himself at the end it was quite an extensive call he had with Ira. We did bring that down a little bit for the benefit of listeners here. We might put a more full version up if people want to hear it in our podcast feed, because I think more people might want to know how else Will got on that walk. So yeah, we might put that out there. But yeah, anyway, sorry.
And he also very kindly sent us a demo of food preparation, which, you know, do let us know if you want us to include that or include that in the separate.
Well, we're going to put that into an episode coming up, because I think that would be good to go back to at some point.
Really,
sure.
Really informative. So yeah, I mean, also I want to say that recording quality on the watch was fantastic.
I know.
I mean, I know my hearing's shot, but OMG. But yeah, I thought that was brilliant. And it really does come down to having a committed professional who's there for the duration, who has loads of data. You mentioned about, you know, GPS access. They have a full dashboard of information. They've got your profile. They know your, you know, likes and dislikes. They could even know logins for you, etc. If you want some help doing that. And yeah, I mean, the Be My Eyes versus this is a bit like... the thing that sprung to mind is, you know, I mentioned that I've got eyes around, and that, I think that's absolutely brilliant. So I can just ask someone to come and glance at something for me, you know, why isn't this talking to me? Or, you know, can you help me with this capture or something? That's kind of a Be My Eyes thing. But I would think twice before asking one of the guys, you know, can you sit with me for 5 minutes or 10 minutes and actually help me through something, actually provide kind of active input? That's a completely different level of, commitment on their part, you know, and potentially they might feel uncomfortable about it because, you know, there's a, if I don't get it right, then there are consequences and that sort of thing. So these professionals, I think, you know, he's mentioned the pricing there, which may sound steep, but I think particularly with the first 5 minutes of every single call free, to have that level of support from committed professionals, I think, very highly trained professionals, I think is really well worth it.
Yeah, and like everything else in life, devil's in the detail. And, you know, I really do think it's important that people understand this. Your intro bundle is 30 minutes, £24 a month. Then you've got standard, then advanced. The standard is 120 minutes for £79 and 300 minutes for £159. But on those two higher tiers, there is a feature which may be of interest to some people, and that is minute sharing. So you can actually share your minutes with another two people at no additional cost. So, you know, you could essentially, if you felt that you would need the minutes, but you maybe can't afford that on your own, well, you could clump together. You could arguably club together and you could share those minutes between you all if that was to be beneficial. So that's something that's good. It is a really interesting service. I'm really keen to hear from other people like Will who've been trying it and using it, either as a free user, because, of course, that, again, is important to say. You don't have to pay for it. The first 5 minutes are free. And you can download the app. You can use it for free. You can make the calls for free. It's all there for you to use. And if you need more time after your 5 minutes, you can just call back. They're okay with that. So,
and you could make 50 five-minute calls a month, and that's, you know, 4 hours or whatever it is right there. And you're not getting like a lower tier level of support for those first 5 minutes. They will access all your information. They'll work hard Googling stuff for you, all that kind of thing within those first 5 minutes. So you're not getting a lesser experience.
No, I think of it like Jaws 40-minute mode, right? It's like you can
Except
have
that keeps
it.
On annoying you.
Well, that's more annoying, yeah. Reminders. But you can, you know, the sense of you've still get full access to it. And if you just need, you know, you can just restart the system and have another go. So, you know, it is possible. So it's similar in that sense. So, yeah, Aira is A-I-R-A, if you want to look it up, at AIRA.io /UK for all the information on billing. So AIRA.io/UK. Let me do that one more time. AIRA.io/UK. That is the web address.
I mean, what's that PIP for? Come on, guys. You know, our monthly disability allowance, you know, that this is right.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah. That's I mean, that's right. We get either disability living allowance, some people still on, or personal independence payment if you moved over. Arguably, that is what this is for. It is a support worker in your pocket, essentially. So that could be good. I mean, obviously, you know, the cost is high, but then if you're receiving full rate, then arguably. Anyway, that's a discussion for another day. Let's get to the emails.
Email. We get email. Get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
All right, let's get into the emails then. Andy, what have you got there?
So let's start off with an email from Darren. He has a few questions, but he starts off asking about hand magnifiers. Hello, he says. I was just wondering if you know of any handheld magnifiers with speech that are available and are not too expensive. So does anybody have any answers for that first bit?
Well, are you going to say get a smartphone first, or am I, Robin?
Well, it's going to be cheaper. I don't know of a low-cost, in quotes, electronic magnifier.
No, so I've been looking around. I mean, there are many, many of these. I mean, you know, if you don't need speech, there are lots of options that are a lot cheaper. I think HumanWare are doing the Ruby at the moment. Is it Sight and Sound? Actually, no, Sight and Sound are doing the Ruby for $199 at the moment. That's, you know, still expensive, but it's, you know, a lot less expensive than the ones I've been looking up. I found three, but they are very expensive. Well, at least I can say. Actually, do you know what? I'm just going to tell you the price, because I hate when people do this. I get it, people all the time say to me, it's very expensive, Stephen. You don't want this. And I think, well, if it works for me, I'll buy it. So, you know, I'll give you the information, you decide for yourself. There's the Mercury 6, which comes from VisionAid, and it's VisionAid Technologies website I'm on here. Mercury 6 with speech. It's a pocket-sized electronic magnifier, 6-inch, that reads A4 pages and then speaks them back to you. Oh, I beg your pardon, it's a 5.5-inch magnifier, but it's called the Mercury 6. Okay, makes sense of that. And it's got text-to-speech solution, which can be controlled by voice, interestingly. So that is available for the princely sum of $795. So that, if that's of interest to you, that's one. Every other option I'm going to give you is more expensive than the last. Yes, there's the Snow 7 HD Plus. I've actually tried the Snow. It's a nice little device. Good entry-level solution for those with low vision to regain independence, as the website says. It's got a distance viewing camera and a magnifier with text-to-speech built-in and large, clear tactile controls. It's £950, and that's the Snow 7 HD Plus Advanced, or you can get a little bit more expensive, and that's when you start getting into those table magnification, not quite CCTV or desktop video magnifier. It's not quite as much of that. It's what you might call a more multi-purpose one. This one's interesting. It's called the Cloverbook Pro, and it's a 12.5-inch screen, bright. It's got a matte screen, which means you're not going to get much reflection on the on that. Full HD touchscreen with full A4 OCR and text-to-speech. It's got a 4K camera built in, which is very important, of course, to get the best quality. It's got a discrete distance and self-viewing camera, and it's got automatic live view perspective correction. So if you want to change the image before you snap the image or the picture, before it reads it, you can. So it's got multiple capabilities, and that comes in at $1,895. All of these products are available from Vision Aid Technologies. It's a family business, and you will have seen them if you're ever at Sight Village. They always turn up there. You can get them by emailing info@visionaid.co.uk. There are many other products in the market, but VisionAid do not and are not, I should say, biased towards anybody when it comes to these things. So you will get an independent view, and they will, if need be, send you to another place to get what you need. So, you know, give them a call. The number is 01775 711977. That's 01775 711977. We'll put that in the show notes as well, so people can follow that and get in touch with them. But hopefully that helps you in your quest.
And just to add that the 4K-ness, or the kind of resolution of the camera, is probably most important if you're having to zoom in a lot, if you're having to magnify the image right up, because these things, I don't think, have optical zoom in. So, yeah, you're going to be blowing up something and it would become more pixelated. So 4K, great. Needless to say, smartphones have that quality of camera as well.
Yeah. And again, you know, if it's just that you're needing, if it's just that one aspect, you do have to look specialist, you do have to look at this kind of technology. That's kind of what you're looking at. So hope that helps. If anyone has any other suggestions, maybe you found a slow a cheaper option, or perhaps, you know, you've found a, because there's another thing here which may be worth pointing out, and that is the number of Facebook groups where there are lists of products. I think there's one called Sight for Sore Eyes on Facebook, which I love the name of that. But Sight for Sore Eyes is like a, you know, people selling specialist technology. So sometimes you might find something that pops up there a bit cheaper. That's another option. Anyway, Andy, what else?
Yes, he continues. This is probably more RNIB Connect Radio specific, so Stephen and I will focus on this one. How does the RNIB record their TV Guide podcast? And is it possible to add more channels to it, such as ITV2? Yes, that's an email from Darren in Northern Ireland.
Okay, Darren. Well, yeah, our podcast, our TV Guide podcast, which is also broadcast on RNIB Connect Radio every day, and ultimately that's where it was born, was originally created out of the idea that, you know, people want to know what's going on the main channels, the main five channels. The problem, I guess, is as soon as you start adding more channels to it, where do you stop? And then how long does the TV Guide become?
Yeah.
There are alternative options there. RNIB do provide alternatives. So if you do need or do want access to all channels or more channels, then you can find that. Go to RNIB. I'll give you the helpline number to call, actually, and they'll put you towards the right person to get that to you. You can get that as a service. The number is 0303 123 9999. That's the RNIB helpline number, which will get you access to that. 0303 123 9999. And as for how it's recorded, it's all done by Erlyn Morgan, who's based in Cardiff, and at the moment she's sitting, I believe, with four sacks of potatoes around her while she does the TV Guide. Who knew?
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, apparently that is her soundproofing, so she tells me.
Oh, a soundproofing. Oh, I thought it was like a hobby or something.
She just loves potatoes. I guess the potatoes had to get there first, so I don't quite understand how all that works. But anyway, if you're listening to Lynn reading out the TV Guide, just think...
potatoes.
There are potatoes nearby. Keep that in mind. Right, what else have we got?
Gordon Anthony has emailed in. Hi guys, says Gordon. Regarding the Bose frames and soundscape, if the Bose frames connect to your iPhone via Bluetooth, you'll still be able to hear soundscape as if you were wearing any earphones or AirPods. Even when the AR capability stops, soundscape will still work. The difference will be that orientation will be from your phone, not from your Bose frames. I used soundscape with my Bose frames before the AR link was made available, and they worked perfectly well. Enjoying the show as always. That's from Gordon.
Well, that's good news, Robin. Yeah, that is good news.
Yeah, it's a Bluetooth headset at the end of the day. So, but I don't think they're going to yank that functionality. It doesn't, you know, it would just be a mean-spirited thing to do. They would have to actively say, we're going to break that. And Microsoft will have something to say about that because they've been shouting about Senscape recently and their partnership with Bose. So, yeah, that was post the announcement that Bose are dropping their AR initiative. But anyway, so yeah, I like it. Thanks, Gordon.
Okay, let's get another email in.
This one from Rebecca. Hi. I am disappointed with the idea that some iOS 14 features, such as double tapping the back of the phone on the device image recognition, will not be supported on the iPhone SE second generation. Wouldn't it make sense to support image recognition on the SE, since it is probably going to be called the blindness phone? Yeah, Stephen, that's catching on. When Apple indicated that the iPhone SE would have the same processor as the iPhone 11, I presumed that all features of the latest OS would be available. This fragmented support for specific features is unfortunate, as I have learned my lesson. Never buy a new phone until you learn all about the latest features and decide what is the most important. Frankly, Face ID isn't for me. I'm not willing to give up the SE for features that I might not use every day. That's from Rebecca. You've got good news on that, Stephen.
We certainly do. So, this email has come into us a good few weeks back. We're catching up with our emails here, so I want to apologise first on that front. But we did actually mention this last week, and if Rebecca's listening this week, once again, let me reiterate this, that all of the features that we talked about, voiceover recognition, back tap, all of the features we were slightly nervous about will be available in the iPhone SE. So the blind phone, the blind edition, as I call it, the iPhone BE, will continue to be the iPhone BE. In terms of size, though, Robin, have you heard this rumor that there's going to be a 5.4-inch iPhone? This is the iPhone 12.
Yes, all of them are going square. Like if anyone's got an iPad Pro or a Svelte, I'm trying to think what really. Anyway, rounded edges are
like
gone.
Like the original iPhone SE.
Yeah. Like every iPhone to date. Well, apart from the 4 and 4S and 5. Okay, moving on.
Apart from all those, it's exactly
Yeah, apart
the
from
same.
All of those. But I don't even think it's going to have like chamfered edges like the 5 had. So I think it's going to be pretty squared off, and that's going to give you a bit more screen size. So they are going to up a little bit. Yep.
Okay. Right, look, I think we'll take a break from the emails for a moment, and we'll come back with more of those because I want to get to this.
News from the internet.
Yes, news from the internet, and some news starting with a jumpy cat, which makes our news this week. This is not, as I say, some kind of YouTube phenomenon, but actually this is an app, a fitness coach app that will help all of us I guess get fit, but one thing they're very keen to do is make the app inclusive. Andy, you've got some detail there.
Yeah, I will confirm to start off with, the app is named after their very playful kitty, they've said. So it's named after a very jumpy cat, so it has good background in that. But yes,
am I allowed to say at this point I'm not a fan of cats? Is that allowed? Can I say that?
You will alienate half of the audience, but yes.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that one.
Well, all I'm going to say to that is, have you heard of a guide cat? That's all I'm saying.
Jumpy cat. So I keep on singing that to this theme of smelly cat from Friends.
Yeah, smelly cat.
Jumpy cat. Sorry, Karen.
Stephen, you'll need to get the, I don't know, the dog alternative, the barky dog.
Barky dog, yeah.
That would involve, yeah. Anyway, Jumpy Cat, yes. It's a free, inclusive fitness coach app. It's designed to give out personalised audio workouts, which is cool for people who are blind and partially sighted, because relying on, you know, going to YouTube to get, you know, your fitness kick, especially during lockdown, can be problematic. They don't explain what they're doing or how they're doing it if they're relying purely on the visuals. So this is from a couple of indie creators in London. They've built a simple fitness app, they say, that uses AI technology to design personalised video and audio workouts on demand. They want to get feedback from people who want to use the app who are blind and partially sighted, because they're saying that blind and partially sighted people are often forgotten about when it comes to general fitness. They're a neglected group, and they're striving to make the app as inclusive as possible.
I'm always forgotten.
They're also including seniors and people with previous injuries in that as well. They say they're doing this by focusing on creating the best audio guidance possible. Currently, this includes drill cues, it includes tips on good exercise form and exercise variations, and there's plenty more coming soon. They're saying that the app is completely free. They have made around 75% of their content available for free on the app, which you can now get on the iOS store, which is unfortunately why I haven't been able to have a little play around with it to see how good
Android.
It is.
Okay.
Because they're working on the Android version at the moment, yes. There is a paid version as well. There's a $1.99 a month for, you know, all of the advanced options, as most apps do these days. But the more important thing is they are saying, we would love some interest and we would love some feedback. So if you want to try and, you know, get fit for the rest of lockdown, depending on how long that's going to be, if you're living in the north of England a little bit longer than the rest of us, it seems, then this app may be good for you because it's workouts you can do at home. I don't know if this is of interest. I know it's of interest to Robin. It must be.
Oh, it's of no interest to me whatsoever, but that's because I don't get fit. I mean, I don't do dentists and I don't do fitness.
Who does Stephen like? This is the big question coming from this
week. I don't do salad. I could go.
Running up and down the stairs, unless you're in a bungalow. Actually, Andy can't do this. Yeah, you can. You're right at the top of the...
Run. Yeah, I have a lot of stairs. The reason why I'm so fit and trim is because I live at the top of a tenement flat. Yeah.
So, yeah. But brilliant tip there. Thanks so much. I am compelled, though, at the same time to mention that the A-Lady has numerous skills, and we've covered a lot of them recently about getting fit, whether it's yoga or HIIT, you know, the high-intensity stuff you like, or some sort of medium impact, stretching, Pilates. We've covered so many on the Dot to Dot podcast recently, and they're all free. And you don't need a screen. They're really well described if you need them to be. So give those a go as well. That's the Dot to Dot podcast. Which is on every single day. Yeah.
It's amazing how we jumped straight to that. No, you haven't mentioned it in the last 5 minutes.
Actually, top tip, just ask the A-Lady, help me to get fit. And this is one we covered on a recent episode of the Dot to Dot podcast, which is...
Sorry, what's that? Is that a thing? I'm unaware of it.
You can say to her anything like, A-Lady, help me get fit, help me be productive, help me cook, say help me, and then whatever you want to do, and she will suggest a whole bunch of skills.
Help me find chocolate bars.
Yeah,
help Does me she get do unfit. That?
Help me fend off the dentist.
Help me get fat.
Help
she can help
fat.
You get fat. She can send you
that'd be brilliant.
Any amount of
she
chocolate.
Can. Yeah, that's right. That's true.
If anyone is interested in this app, you can find it. I'll put the link in the podcast notes, but you can find it by searching Fitness Coach by Jumpy Cat. And yeah, it's a little origami cat, a blue origami cat in their logo, if you're that way inclined to seeing it. But yes, I'll also put it in the podcast notes as well.
Okay. Let's talk about AbilityNet's webinar that's coming up. I know you're keen to tell us about it. Robin, what's happening?
Another
there?
Shameless plug coming up, guys. So yeah, we mentioned about the last month one with Jenny Lay Flurry. The one for August, it's on the 11th of August, is with Neil Milliken. He's a superhero when it comes to accessibility at Atos. Atos, the global giants of IT. So yeah, ATOS, that is. I don't know what it stands for. Maybe I should have done my homework. But anyway, so Neil and I are going to have a really good chat at the time of the Tech Talk podcast going out, but you can certainly catch up after the event. So it's at 1 p.m. on the 11th of August. Now, if you're wanting to find out more or you want to sign up for it, and if you sign up for it, you'll get a reminder of being able to catch it after the event as well, then please go to abilitynet.org.uk/insights-Atos, A-T-O-S.
You made that easy. Good. Okay, thank you for that. Right, that's you up to date with the AbilityNet webinar and Jumpy Cat. Now let's talk about a new podcast from RNIB. It's called Chats About Apps. The whole idea is that if you don't know what an app is or you don't know how it can help you, then this podcast aims to help. Our Polina Kohorev here at RNIB Connect Radio reports.
technology is changing so quickly, and sometimes it can be overwhelming to keep up with all the new apps out there, which is why you might want to check out a new collaboration between RNIB's Older People and Complex Needs team and RNIB's Technology for Life team, which is a podcast series called Chats About Apps. I'm joined now by RNIB's Lindsay Sansom, one of the hosts of the podcast, to find out more. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
So could you tell us, how did the idea of the podcast come to be?
Well, we just felt, especially due to the current pandemic, that we wanted to take into consideration how some people may be feeling, possibly feeling a bit more isolated and maybe not feeling as connected with friends and family. So we wanted to help with that as much as possible. And we felt that letting people know a bit more about basic technology and how to access some technology on their devices may be useful. So that's how it sort of came about. And we started off with thinking, how about exploring a range of simple apps which can be used in everyday life to support people with sight loss?
So the title of the podcast is quite self-explanatory, but what sort of content can we expect when we listen to one of the episodes?
Yes, so we wanted it to be an easy listen and short and sweet podcasts. And we started off with the very first one, basically an intro to what apps are. So for anybody who didn't know that much about apps, then it's a basic introduction to what apps are. And then throughout the further podcasts, we delve a little bit deeper into what apps are available, and we look at things in relation to independent living, apps for staying in touch with family and friends. We also cover some apps around about entertainment and apps about organisation and those life admin tasks like taking notes or calendar reminders, for example. And the last podcast number 6 was about apps for getting out and about, so anything that may help people living with sight loss getting out and about.
And will there be more episodes of the podcast?
At the moment, it's those 6 we have covered so far, but we're looking at developing at the moment podcast series around about vision and stroke. And that's to let people know a little bit more about how your vision may be impacted after having a stroke.
So it all sounds really useful. Lots of really great information there. But how can we listen to it?
Yes, so I would say the best way to find the podcasts is to go onto the RNIB webpage, www.rnib.org.uk, and if you type in chats about apps into the search box in the top right hand side of the webpage, and the link should come up from there, and then you would have access to play all those 6 apps in the Chats About Apps series. And you will also notice on the podcast series webpage that there is another series in relation to supporting older people living with sight loss, and there's some really useful podcasts there as well for advice and support.
Lindsay Sansom from RNIB's Older People and Complex Needs team, thank you for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio, and I hope you get lots of new listeners.
Hopefully. Thank you, and enjoy listening.
Sounds good. Another podcast suggestion for you to look forward to. Right, let's get back to the emails then, because we do have an inbox full, so let's continue with that. Andy, what have you got there?
Yeah, I think we're going to start measuring them by football-sized pitches next. Is that next in the line?
Or? That's next. Oh, yeah, well, usually, so I was thinking about this, right? So when you think about the various ways of measurement, or various tools of measurement, you've got double-decker buses, you've got football fields, Wales, and Luxembourg. That's usually Luxembourg. The four I remember.
Okay. I couldn't for the life of me tell you where Luxembourg was compared to how big it is, but there you go.
It's pretty titchy.
Well, put it this way, we can't go there now. That's all I know. We're not allowed to go there. You're not allowed to come back from there. You know, it's all terrible.
It's so small, they've probably got 0 cases. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, could be.
No, I don't think so. Okay. Have you not watched the news? You're busy listening to that Amazon Echo talk to you all the time. Right.
He's too busy having webinars.
He's never off a webinar, is he? Right. Let's get into the email.
Yeah. This one from Sharon. Hi, my name is Sharon and I'm from Newry in Northern Ireland. Although I have been listening to the show for many years, this is the first time I have written to you.
Ah, well, welcome to the show, Sharon. Lovely to have you.
You're regular now, Sharon. I wanted to let the listeners know about a company in Wales called Computer Recyclers UK. I have purchased two machines from them so far and I've been very impressed with the service. Last week I purchased a Lenovo 230X ThinkPad. She's also praising the website as being very accessible. They can install NVDA as well if you need it. I listen to the podcast on my iPhone every week. Thank you for all the effort you make on the show. It's very interesting and informative. That's from Sharon.
Well, you've just added to that, Sharon. Yeah, you've just added to that because yep. That is a brilliant piece of advice. You know, we had Red on a couple of weeks ago, Red Sale from Read On here on RNIB Connect Radio. We were talking to him about getting a new computer. And it didn't escape me that this was going on, but that maybe wasn't his solution. But for a lot of people out there who, you know, aren't going to be able to drop £1,000 or £1,500 on a new computer, this is a great option for you. And if you are registered blind or you're registered disabled in any way, or you're on a certain state benefits or a certain income level, you can apply for this. And I say apply, I mean, really, you just have to provide a little bit of documentation. I was inquiring about it just to see what was required, and they asked for my registration certificate. But in the end, they said, look, we don't really need this. I mean, if you're saying you are who you are, then that's that. And ultimately, you're paying for it anyway, right? So I think I looked at this, and it didn't specify the computer you get. Obviously, that's the one that Sharon received. But what it did do was it pointed you towards, you know, the specification that you could have. So it gives you a kind of basic specification. I think it's 8 gig of RAM, an Intel i3 processor, a kind of basic hard drive. But you can add to that. You can say, well, I want a bigger hard drive. I want a solid state drive. I want more RAM. And like Sharon says, they will put NVDA and Ivona software on there, I should say, which gives you the extra voices. And they'll do that for an extra £60 on top of the price. You're actually paying for the voices. You're not paying for the software because NVDA is free. But they will put the extra vocalizer expressive voices on there for you, which is brilliant. I think the starting price is £169. And then obviously what you add on will bring the price up. But it's a great deal, I think, to get a decent computer.
Such good value. Exactly. Really, really good, yeah. And I know you could have availed yourself of their good value products, but you get all your bargains from QVC, so...
Yeah, I got all my bargains from Apple. Whenever they get a sale.
I will plug the URL then for this company.
Please,
it's www.computerrecyclers.co.uk. So,
brilliant.
Yeah.
This was actually part of a government scheme, and I remember, I don't know if it's still subsidised in this way, it may have changed, but it was the scheme was called Get Online at Home, and it was for people who struggled to access computers because of cost, and it was to provide low-cost computers to people. So big businesses tend to turn over their computers, you know this, Robin, they tend to turn their computers over every couple of years, and these machines that they're essentially getting rid of, there's nothing wrong with them. But they've just, you know, they've leased them for 3 years. They have to get new machines in, so these machines end up going in a pile. There's nothing wrong with them. So what they do is they give these machines, in some cases, to these organisations, and they then resell them at a much lower cost. So you're actually getting something that's a really decent machine, in some cases, maybe not used very much or as much. It's a good system. So well worth
checking out. Absolutely. Yeah, these, like you were saying, these business lease machines are still really new. You know, every 2 years they get turned over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who'd buy a new car? You know, as soon as you drive it off the forecourt, it's halved in value.
That's right.
So, you know, get an ex-lease car or just get a second-hand car of a few years old and it'll be a fraction of the price. And
unless you're blind. Don't buy cars if you're blind. Unless you're not driving
the
them.
The parallel falls down there, yeah.
That's the only bit of that that falls apart.
Not yet. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're not there yet. Right, okay, what else have we got? That's a great email. Thank you so much for that, Sharon. I really appreciate that. What else did we get?
Right, so this next one is from Billy Burrell. Hello, Stephen, Robin and Andy.
Hey.
Just a quick message in response to the email read out on a previous show, which I believe was from Julian. I think we have probably about 3 or 4 Julians listening who email in.
Can I just say, I think Billy and Julian should do a show together. I think there's a talk show coming up here.
Yes, it definitely was regarding the Dolphin Easy Reader, and he was expressing some negative thoughts regarding the app. As I've said before, I think it's a great app, easy to use, very responsive. However, there is one major flaw which I contacted the RNIB about, and they assured me that it's being looked at and will hopefully be rectified before too long. The problem is that when you try to download a book that is on more than one disc, the app, or perhaps the platform itself, doesn't allow you to do this, so you only get part of a book. And this is quite an issue, but until it is resolved, any books which may be affected by it can still be accessed on disc or by USB. Yes, that's an email from Billy. He says, keep up the good work.
That's interesting. Have you experienced that, Robin?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm old enough. Don't hold your Billy. Thanks for that. Takes me down memory lane. Yeah. Honestly, old, you know, big controls and reel to reel, I remember. And yeah, the Caliber used to be on sort of cassette tapes, didn't they? This is probably all before your time.
Some of it is. Not all of it.
Yeah. No, it's great.
I was all cassette tapes when I was growing up. That's why I always remember everything was cassette tape. And all my classes, all my materials were on cassette tape as well. So everything was good. I used to carry around my bag was so heavy. I had a big, massive, triangular cassette machine that had a big plug on it, and I had to take that to every class and sit it on the desk and plug it in, and then I'd have all my cassette tapes. And of course, inevitably, because it's me, I'd put the bag on the desk and it would fall off the desk and all the tapes would fall on the floor, and I'd spend the next sort of hour trying to work out which tape it was I was supposed to have. And most of the time my teachers I think my teachers in the end just said, you know what, just give him a pass and get rid of him, because he's just an absolute pain in the neck. It was nothing to do with sight loss. It was just to do with the fact I am a complete idiot. But what a laugh I had. So no education whatsoever, but a good time. Anyway, moving on. hope that gets resolved soon, Billy. Hope that gets sorted for you.
Yeah. If listeners don't know the connection between a cassette tape and either a pencil or a Bic pen,
that's an age
thing, you know, why they're absolutely indispensable.
Absolutely.
Then, yeah, you're not of a certain age.
What were those? Remember those cassettes you used to get in little dictaphones? What were those? Microcassettes. Remember those?
Yeah, yeah. Like not a D20, but, you know, they were like very short, like 8 minute, 15 minute, 20 minute.
Yeah. You used to always use those in the dictaphones as well. I had my Sony dictaphone at the time. Or was it Olympus? Can't remember. One of the two. And yeah, I loved that. In fact, you know, I wish I still had that, because at least when you hit stop on the tape, you knew exactly where you were going to kick off again. I loved that. I want to go back to the old days. They were so much better. Mind you, in saying that, touch my iPhone and you die. right, carry on.
No, while you two are currently skipping down memory lane hand in hand, you're going to be joined by Kelly, because she's emailed in saying, hi gang, always a good show. We need banter in those unprecedented times.
Absolutely.
It cheers me up no end. Mm. She says, I'm going to take you on a trip down memory lane. I'm afraid Stephen and Robin are already there. We talked a lot about the Opticon. How about something else? How many listeners remember the analog 8-track talking book player, which we had RNIB talking books on? Well, it was huge, and the audio quality was dreadful. The cassette was a bit like the old video cassette. It's getting quite a lot of mentions today. Mm. You had a lever to turn the machine on. A lever? Sorry, I'm shocking myself here. And you had another lever to change tracks. The first lever was rewind, turn on and stop, and the other was the track button, and the other two were volume and tones, which was a dial. And when it came to the end of a track, you heard this announcement. This is the end of track one. At the end of this announcement, turn the control lever to off, remove the cassette and place it into the machine. Then press the track change button once. Do this now. After you've gone through this palaver of turning the cassette over and so on, then you turn the machine on, and then you heard this announcement. Track 2 begins shortly. Track 2 begins shortly. It kept on and until you finished the cassette. Some of the books had about 9 cassettes to them, which took up so much space. The thing is, it was so heavy, and it wasn't nice to look at either. I'm so glad that the RNIB talking books are now digitised with no hassle. Would I go back to the 8-track machine? No, I would not. It was awful. It would be great if your listeners could remember this. Perhaps you have an old recording of this.
Oh, I think we will have, yeah.
Yeah, keep going with the show, says Kelly.
Well, look, you know...
Thanks, Kelly. I had no idea that email was coming up next, guys. Yeah, good old days.
Well, you know, it was the good old days. And, you know, the thing is, as much as it was, and I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Nowadays, we would go back to it and we'd say, oh, wasn't this wonderful? Oh, remember how good it was? And, you know, from a tactile perspective, from a... Maybe not that particular machine, but those kind of machines, like we were saying about cassette tapes and all the rest. You know, those kind of things were, in a lot of ways, so much easier to operate. But at the same token, think of how easy it is now to get data from one thing to another, you know, to, I mean, just simple stuff like getting, you know, I record a voice memo on my watch and it's available on my phone or on my Mac and I'm able to listen to it. I can even edit it if I want. You know, we heard that demo from Will earlier, recording that on his watch. And you just think, you know, you couldn't do that back then. You know, in order to achieve a lot of that stuff would have involved so much kit. I remember once being interviewed for Radio 3. Yes, Radio 3. Yeah. I've been you think you're posh on Radio 4? Hey, they were asking me to go on Radio 3.
Yeah.
I had to wear a suit at school that day. And I'd sat there with this woman who interviewed me.
The radio.
That's right. She sat there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She sat there with her reel-to-reel cassette recorder, which even then nobody was using. But she was still using it. And she said, I always trust this. I like using this. I like this piece of kit. And yeah, so she used her reel-to-reel tape to record me on Radio 3.
Until she got a hernia.
Program. Yeah, exactly. Tried to catch... Well, she had about four guys to take it in and out of the room. had to bring an entourage with her. It was ridiculous. But yeah, different times. Well, thank
what
you
Kelly was
that,
saying about the announcement of the end of the track and the beginning of the track, I think we've all heard... RNIB books which after being digitized still had that
still
announcement.
Yeah, that's right.
End of track one, track two.
It is weird when you hear that now. You listen to a book and it's not necessarily always a book, but I know books are probably more commonly doing this, but you will occasionally hear, you know, on this side of the CD,
yeah,
or
exactly,
this side of the tape, and you think this is a digital file. But obviously they haven't changed that, but in some ways I quite like that, you know, it kind of takes you back to a nicer time.
We need to drag this back into the 21st century before we end.
Yeah, well, hurry up then, because you've got a minute.
Hi, Stephen, voice of radio, Robin, whom I already know, and Andy Email. Oh, I've got a surname now.
Andy Email.
Having worked my ailing cross trainer into submission during furlough, I need to replace it, as I don't think it can be repaired. Therefore, do you know of any companies who specialise in accessible aerobics equipment, all machines supported by accessible apps? Thanks in advance for your advice, and I am with Robin on the chocolate issue. That's chocolate being the...
cupboard. Fridge mean, sorry.
Yes. Yep. You forgot what you like your
John
chocolate.
John says, P.S. What is narrator, Stephen? Lol.
Nice. Oh, well, that's not very nice.
I think I know which John this is. Yeah, thanks, John. Hi.
Is it the Soul Man or is it a different one?
No. Yeah. I think he's the John from Warwick that I know.
All right, okay. Well, thank you for that, John. The short answer is I'm not the guy to ask around fitness equipment. I'm going to hand that one out. And it's just so... fortunate for me the show is coming to an end at this point, because it means I can just narrowly avoid that question completely. But no, I don't know the answer to that, but maybe our listeners do. Keep emailing in techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Thank you so much for your emails. They make this show. We talk about them all week. Every single day we just talk about the wonderful emails we have and the conversations that it brings up as well, like Kelly's email there, Sharon's email earlier telling us about great services as well. Keep them coming. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. You can follow RNIB Connect Radio on Twitter @RNIB Radio. Andy, Robin, we'll catch you again next time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.